It goes a little bit along with what I'd like to preach this morning as we continue our series on the Christmas spirit. Those things that God wants us to have in our heart, but to realize the Christmas spirit that God gives. And not only that He gives, but that He demonstrates the spirit of who He is. And the first message was on the God of peace, the peace of Christmas, a settledness that God wants us each to have in our life. That peace that only the Lord can give, a deep settled. We talked about truly the joy that He gives. The joy of Christmas, the joy that the angels sang about, and the shepherd boys, and all through the ages, the joy that only Christians can experience. And these are characteristics, folks, that you need to, I know you know this, but no one else experiences these things. They don't have a right to unless they trust Christ. Then they're given full privilege, full wonderful privilege of being able to experience the peace that God gives, the joy that God gives. And we talked about last week the spirit of humility. The world knows nothing about. God's people understand it because we understand that God, He condescended. He came down for us. He took on flesh. He lived in a sinful world. And He lived a perfect life. And He humbled Himself. The Son of Man, who didn't have anywhere to lay His head, He gave us the perfect example of humility because our God is humble. Are we all in awe this morning of the fact that our God is humble? He lowered Himself. I know that I've heard in my Christian life of people accusing God of being conceited. But how can you come to that conclusion when you understand and believe of how He came down? He came down. He lowered Himself. The Bible says He became poor, that we might be made rich. He entered into poverty so that we could be rich. What a blessing as we think upon the importance of the spirit of Christmas, that not only are we experiencing in December, but all of our Christian days. And I don't know how many of you have been challenged by this series, but if anybody has, I know God's been working me over. As many times I've lost my peace, I didn't lose it. I gave it away. Or I gave away that humility that God wants me to have, and I took pride instead. Or that joy that I gave away when God wants me to rejoice in this season. Instead, I was in the flesh and was complaining and murmuring. And today is another one. I think they've all hit me pretty good, but this one may take them all. But today, with God's help, I want you to just walk with me in what God teaches us in the Word of God about the spirit of patience. The spirit of patience. I don't know if anybody here is like me, but I can be very impatient. If you don't believe me, you can ask any of my children. And they will let you know that Dad can lose his patience. And I can. Maybe you can too. But patience is a characteristic of God Almighty. God is patient. And as I think upon Christmas, I think of the spirit of patience. Christmas should remind us of the patience of God. As we think upon how the Lord works and who He is, would you look with me at Galatians chapter 4? Excuse me. And notice with me in verse number 3. Verses 3, 4, and 5. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time, of the time, that's very important, the definite article there, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I do want to thank You for this morning. Thank You for the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Thank You for the testimony of God, the songs that exalt You, the songs of God. Thank You for the people of God. And I just pray that, Lord, also if there's anybody here that's not yet saved, they've never been born again, they don't have a second birth, I pray today they would get saved. I pray they'd be under conviction, Holy Spirit, that You would be convincing them that they need to make this decision before it's eternally too late. Oh, God, have mercy, I pray. And then I pray for Your children. I pray that we would all be submitted to the God who is patient. And I pray that we would learn from You, Lord, and allow You to be patient even through us. So have Your way now, and we'll give You the praise. In Jesus' name, we all ask it. Amen. Patience. I think, generally speaking, even as Americans, we're not really known as a very patient people. We want it done yesterday. Any wait is too long of a wait. We're in the culture of Amazon Prime. And I'm not complaining about that. I actually appreciate it. But I don't know if anybody's like you, but when they tell me today and it didn't show up in 2 days, you said 2 days. You're late. I was expecting this gift. I was expecting this particular prize. I was expecting this particular possession. And we can get rather frustrated, can we not? I know we can get impatient in the food line there at the restaurant. We can get impatient with a waiter. We can get impatient at the drive-thru. Except if you go through Chick-fil-A, then you don't have to have patience because they just put you right through. Amen. No, but it is. We're in that. I think the Western culture in itself is more prone to be impatient than the Eastern culture. Living there in Africa, they look at things a good bit differently. And those people aren't even saved, most of them, where I was living in North Africa, predominantly Muslims. But even their way of life is more patient, of just allowing things to take place as they do. Now, they also can use as an excuse to be lazy, but that's not what we're learning here this morning. We're learning that God is a God of patience. God is never in a hurry. Now that doesn't mean God doesn't do things quickly. The Bible talks about there are things that He does quickly. In fact, His coming will be quickly. It will be quick. God does things, but He's never in a hurry. Neither is God ever late. He's never tardy. He's always perfectly on time in everything He does. That's the sovereignty of God, the providence of God. He is outside of time. And everything is on schedule, and He is working through all situations. And we can understand that the reason we need to recognize that as being so important is because that explains that God is a patient God. We want it done now, God. Lord, why? Many times. But if you think about the patience of God, it'll encourage you. One defined the patience of God as this. When the Scripture describes God as being patient, it means that He endures, get this, He endures humanity's flaws. He endures humanity's flaws. How well do we endure humanity's flaws? Not only that, but it means that He does not easily get angry. That's convicting as I read that statement. He's not easily angered. His patience expresses how He holds back judgment, get this, to make room for repentance. God reserves His judgment to give room for a change of heart, a change of mind. Wow. Raise your hand if you're thankful that God is patient. Amen. He is. Now, patience in Scripture and endurance, they're brothers. Now, in the New Testament, there are two different Greek words for patience. There is hupomeno, which carries the idea of endurance, used in a context. The idea of abiding and being faithful in an action, in going forward, even in the face of opposition. There's that aspect. And even with the aspect of knowing that it's hard, it's tough, but believing there's going to be a good outcome. That's the faith aspect of patience, of endurance. But the second one is makrothumeo, which more is the strength of that particular patience is long suffering. It's a suffering long, and I believe it has more to do with the frame of mind, the attitude. And it is even that attitude in the face of opposition. And we know that God is very patient with us. He's patient with His enemies. He's patient with His children. As we discussed in one of the messages about sheep. God, you got to be patient as a shepherd, right? And we're His flock. And God is very patient with us. And I'm thankful for that. I want to give you 3 points quickly if you're taking notes this morning. Number one, God is patient in His plan of redemption. Number two, God is patient in His purpose in our lives. Number three, God is patient in His promised return. God is patient in His promise to return. As I think upon this verse here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it uses that phrase, but when the fullness of the time was come. That's God's timing. God had patiently, if you will, endured the flaws of mankind for 4,000 years until that time that God chose from eternity past to bring forth the Son of God upon this earth. It was the perfect timing. Yes, perhaps it was late to many of the Israelites and those that had been saved through the witness of the Israelites on the coming Messiah. Perhaps it was late on their behalf. And many people here thinking that God's second coming is late. But it's not late. Right on time. Right on time. And I believe there's something we can learn in Christmas and in the spirit of Christmas as we see in full view the patience of God. Number one, God is patient in His plan of redemption. Think about this, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. In speaking to the Jews, Paul said, O, despisest thou the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? That's the word patience. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? Think about how God is patient. I'm thankful that God allowed me to hear the gospel more than once. I'm glad God was patient with me. As a lost man, I used to shake my hand in the face of God and mock Him. And there are times I'd have respect for religion, but I also was a foolish man, using God's name in vain frequently and not thinking there was any reason to really fear God. But God was so patient with me. God shows His patience to you if you're here today without Christ. God's patiently enduring your sinful attitude of disbelief or your sinful attitude of pride, thinking you're good because you go to church, or you're good because you made a profession, or you're good because you've been baptized. Or perhaps He's being patient with you if you are thinking you're too bad to be saved. And He's constantly convincing you, no, you're not too bad to be saved. You know, you can be too good to be saved, but you can never be too bad to be saved. Some people say, oh, I don't need salvation. I've met family members. All this born again, being saved. Listen, we believe in God. They're too good to be saved. They're self-righteous. But God is patient even with that crowd. He's patient with all of us. He's patient with the world. He's seeking to win the world through people like you and me who are shining the light of God and say, hey, we've experienced the patience of God. God waited. He endured. He sought me. He drew me. And God knows what He's getting in each of us. This may sound like an oxymoron or just maybe, I don't know if this even comes out right. But I know in my heart, knowing what I have done and what I'm capable of and the thoughts that come across my mind at times, I wouldn't want to save anybody like that. As selfish as I can be, as prideful as I can be, I wouldn't want to save anybody like that. Give my own son. But God is patient. I wouldn't want to. I tell you, after the first week or the second week that I'd come to, if I had to come to a boss and be like, messed up again. Yeah, I did that again. And it was week after week, day after day. I mean, if it was me, I'd be like, all right, you're done. Every day I come to my God. In some way I quote 1 John 1:9. Lord, I agree with what I said was wrong. What I did was sin. And I confess my sin unto you. The Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Doesn't mean there's not consequences. There will be consequences for sin. There always will be. But there is forgiveness. And God says, all right, I forgive you, son. I love you. You just keep on pressing forward. You don't give up. I'm with you. I'm in you. I have forgiven you. You keep going. Why is God doing that? Because He's the God of patience. He's working in your life and my life. He's transforming you and me. He's changing our lives. He's changing our families. He's changing our church. He is patient with Crooked Creek Baptist Church. There are things that we're not doing that we should be doing. There's some things that we're doing and that we shouldn't be doing. There are some things that they're in our presence, but God has not left us or forsaken us. He's working on us. He's patient with His church. He's teaching us. He's growing us. Think about God. When you think about Christmas, God, the fullness of time has come. God's not late. We get frustrated with one another. We get angry at one another. We cut down one another. We criticize one another. Or we criticize others, whatever the case may be. And a lot of it stems from a spirit. Mark it down. Don't make excuse for it. It's from a spirit of impatience. We don't have anything to do with enduring the flaws of humanity. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. Get out or get with the program. We better recognize that, brethren. We better recognize that. That's not a good spirit. the God of patience. What he endured. Psalm 145 verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. There's your patience. And great and of great mercy. I believe that probably the most exceptional display of God's patience is found in the person of Jesus Christ. The one we celebrate, the one we worship, the one we adore, the one we bow down to, the one we submit to, the one that we extol and lift up on high. That's Him. That's Jesus, the Son of God, who took on human flesh and lived among His creation. He endured the challenges of the ministry. He was mocked and scorned. He was spit upon with a crown of thorns put upon His head. He was nailed to an old rugged cross. And He did it because He's patient. Those Pharisees mocked and ridiculed Him. Blasphemous statements were made. His own disciples forsook Him. They were so full of pride. But He was constantly, constantly showing them patience. Yes, He would correct them. Yes, there were times He would rebuke them. But He didn't forsake them. He never forsook them. He was with them. We'd write people off. Those disciples, most likely, they were in our life. If we were seeking to have them in the ministry, write them off. They're not qualified. Fellas, they're so full of pride. They don't even want to help the children. Hey, they're too busy to stop in Samaria. They don't want to do any of that. They're sleeping. I'm trying to pray. Look at these guys. They won't even pray with me. Not even 1 hour. These guys, where are the others? Where are the others? But God, you see how beautiful patience is? I marvel at God's patience with somebody like Brinson Jennings. Don't amen right there. But I do. God is so enduring with my life and the things that I do and don't do. And He's walking with me. He's helping me. He's not giving up on me. He will chasten me. And I'm glad He does that. It's a sign of His love. He puts corrections upon my life. But think about this. God in His plan of redemption, and He is patient in His purpose in your life. He that has begun, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He's going to continue working. He's patient in the way He is demonstrated by the way He's endured the stubbornness and stupidity of His sheep. Is anybody here ever stubborn? Sometimes I've looked at my children and I think, where did this stubbornness come from? I did not say their mother, okay? Maybe. Joanne and I kind of kid each other about that. But it's called stubbornness. You know what stubbornness is. It's just another word for sin. When it's against what is right. Now, stubbornness can be channeled in a righteous way. So there's hope for you folks that have strong-willed children. We just pray that that stubbornness would be channeled against the devil himself. To hate him and to resist him. By the way, that's what that word resistance means. I give you that analogy. It's like some criminal being locked up and he just continues to resist. From the point they get him down, he's wrestling, takes three or four of them, get him in the car. They're still trying to arrest him, trying to get him to calm down. He's bucking, hitting, trying to knock out windows. They get him to the jail. They try to get him in the jail because he's resistant, takes three or four of them. And when he's in there, he's still resistant. They've locked him down. He can't do anything, but he's trying to bite people. He's trying to bite. Is he resisting? There's a resistance there. And there's a good stubbornness there when that's directed toward the devil. Not gonna let him have his way. I'm going to resist. But it's a dangerous thing to resist God. Don't be stubborn. It's not good to have that kind of stubborn, but He's patient even in our stubbornness. God wants us to yield our hearts to Him and our ways to Him. He not only demonstrates that, but He demonstrates it when he came and He works through imperfect humans to carry out His plans. People like Abraham, people like Moses, people like David and Solomon, people like Jacob, people like you and me. God, because He's patient, He can take us and use us to accomplish His plan. Amen. He took a woman named Mary who was a sinner, who needed a Savior, and He chose her body, He chose her life to be the vessel by which the Son of God would be born. Flawed vessels. You and me. Think about how patient God has been through the ages. God's never been in a hurry. I think of the flood. You remember Noah preached for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness while he's building the ark. By the way, God was so patient. Is that not an example of patience here? Noah's preaching. Repent! Repent! Believe in the God of Israel. Believe in God. Trust God as your Savior, and the people just refused. So every preacher, every message, and then every hit with the hammer. People were watching this man build an ark. What was that? The patience of God. Every message you hear of a lost person, patience of God. Believer here, child of God, if you're rebelling against the Lord, you know what every message is. You know what every time you open your Bible, you know when God says something, speaks to somebody in your life, you know what it is? It's God's patience. He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to draw you in and give you His vision and His way of life. I'm glad He does that. If it wasn't for the patience of God, I don't even think I could have been your pastor for an hour. A minute. I probably was worrying about something within the first minute of being your pastor. God could have seen. God's patience from 4,000 years ago to the point our Savior was born. You think about the examples that of yes, the flood, but I think about even the examples of taking them through the promised land, the patience of God through the prophets proclaiming. I think about the God through the 400 years between Malachi and Matthew where there was nothing being said. You say God wasn't doing anything. Oh, yes, He was. He was being patient. Then John the Baptist came to the scene. I think about those dear folks there that were waiting on the Messiah during that time. Oh, my. Listen, we have to understand, to be able to be patient people, we have to understand and submit to the God who is patient. God is not going to bow to our anxious hurry. He's not going to bow to that. He's calling His people to be patient with one another. Patient with this world. Yes, enduring. Yes, doing our part in proclaiming the truth. Yes, living in our lives. But, ladies and gentlemen, can we look to God this morning in this Christmas season and say, God, You are a God of patience, and that's who I want to be. I want to be a patient person. I want to do the enduring through hardness, but I also want to have a frame of mind that is patient. God does things slowly in our estimation many times, but everything He does is in perfect junction, get this, with His infallible wisdom, His immutable justice, and His unfailing love. His purpose is being worked out in our lives, and He's patient with us. Listen to what Elizabeth Elliot said. He makes us wait. He keeps us on purpose in the dark. He makes us walk when we want to run. Sit still when we want to walk, for He has things to do in our souls that we are not interested in. End quote. I didn't know Ms. Elizabeth was going to be singing that song, but it went perfectly with the God who is patient. We seek Him again. We pray. We get on our knees. We bow before Him and we say, Lord, we're going to trust Your patience. Thank You for Your patience in my life. God is patient in His promise to return. You know, there were people that were blaspheming God. They were getting after those Jews. Maybe you've had people mock the fact of His coming. Has anybody ever here experienced this? You know, you Christians, y'all talk about God coming back. Where is He? You say Paul's been talking about it. You say people have been talking about it. They've been talking about Jesus coming for years. Where's He at? Huh? It's mockery. It's been happening since the beginning. And here's your response, because it's a biblical response. This is very simple. Please mark this down. If somebody ever mocks, why hasn't God come yet? This is what you need to say. And if you want to add more to it, fine. That's great. If you want to say something different, as long as it's biblical, fine. But this is a great response. This is the reason why. God is patient. He's long-suffering. He's working in your life. He's working in mine. He's so good. He's working. He's patient. And that's what 2 Peter 3:9 says. The Lord is not slack. He's not sleeping. He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. He's not slow, but is long-suffering, patient to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's the God of patience. That's why we support missionaries like the Wilts. That's why we go out in South Jackson and beyond to take the gospel. That's why we go everywhere we go to proclaim Jesus, is because we believe God is patient and God is still saving people. We don't want to be those Jonas, do we? Because God, don't miss it. Don't miss it, please. Jonah knew that God was patient, and that's why he didn't want to have anything to do with preaching to Assyria. The Assyrians in Nineveh. He didn't want anything to do with that because he suspected that God would be long-suffering to them, and He was. But no, we want to say, God, get them. I close with this. In the Christmas story, we understand that there were people praying for the Messiah at that very time. One of them by the name of Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting patiently, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents," that's Joseph and Mary, "came in, brought in the child Jesus," this time he's more older than a newborn, "to do for him after the custom of the law," that's that circumcision, 8 days. It says, "then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon. He knew God was patient. He knew God was long-suffering. And the Lord allowed him to see and to hold His Messiah, His Savior. And my closing statement is this. Church, let's be joyful. Let's be at peace. Let's be humble as Christians. And let's be patient. Let God have His work in your life and my life. Let's be patient with each other and let God use that mightily in this church and beyond. If you're in agreement with that, would you say amen? Amen. Let's pray.